The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And may the words of the Holy Gospel take root and grow in our hearts. In Rome, there is a church called the Church of the Gesù. It's the mother church of all the Jesuits. I'm sure you all know who the Jesuits are. And to the right, facing the altar, to the right, there's a small chapel in this church dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the centerpiece of this chapel is a painting, I can't remember who it's by, of Jesus of the Sacred Heart. And in this painting, Jesus, I can't remember if his chest is open or not, but in his hand, he's holding his heart. He's offering his heart to whoever wants to take it. And I would often go in this chapel when it was exam time and pray for help during my exams. But anyway, I was watching a video on YouTube yesterday, and the rector of the church was making a comment about this painting of the Sacred Heart. He says, yes, Jesus is offering his heart to anybody who wants to take it, but Jesus is also doing another action because he has his palm open, and this is a gesture that is common amongst whom? But among those who beg. In Rome, there are many beggars. On the streets, there are people asking for charity, and often their hands are out like this. And yes, Jesus, in that painting of his Sacred Heart, is offering his heart, but he's also asking for something in return, and that is our heart, our charity towards him and those brothers and sisters of ours who are in need. Charity. Today we celebrate the feast of the body and blood of Christ. But before we go into that, the devotion to the Sacred Heart began or was already, it's based on scripture, but it kind of was propagated in France through a series of apparitions to St. Mary Margaret Alacoque. And Jesus appeared to her in the chapel of the monastery there. I was privileged to have visited, and there you can see where this all happened. And one of the phrases which has been famous from these visions, Jesus opens his self and shows his heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, saying these words, "Behold the heart which has loved so much, but is loved so little in return." Very powerful and very sad words. Behold the heart which loves so much, but is loved so little in return. And Jesus, his heart is there in the tabernacle. Today we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, of the body and blood of our Lord, which is there in the Blessed Sacrament, present, waiting for us. And often, in response to so great a gift, the gift of his very body and blood, How do we repay our Lord? What kind of response do we give? Oftentimes here we're very blessed to have the Chapel of Perpetual Adoration. And yet, oftentimes when I come home, often late at night, I can see that there are no cars parked there. Jesus is alone. There's nobody adoring where we have this, so that the blessed and people have signed up for an hour slot each day, and yet sometimes it's empty. How do we repay the love of that Christ has for us, that he's given us in the Eucharist? Often Jesus is left alone, yes, in the Blessed Sacrament, but also he's alone in the poor, in those who need our charity, in those who need our help. If we really take the Eucharist seriously, this cannot be so. If all Christians, all Catholics really understood and did not take for granted the great gift that we receive upon this altar, that chapel would not be alone. And not only that, I can assure you, if people really understood the meaning of the Eucharist, there would be no poor people. Because this, from here, we are strengthened to go out into the world and be the presence of Jesus to the poor, to those who need him desperately. We cannot take the Eucharist for granted. And there's a theology that I was reading behind the Eucharist in a book I've mentioned before. Our One Great Act of Fidelity is the title. It's written by an oblate priest. His name is Father Ronald Rollheiser. And in it, he explains the Eucharist from different point of views. It's a beautiful book, and I recommend it to anybody interested. But there's a chapter in that book where he takes the action of Christ at the Last Supper, the same thing that we do at the Mass, and he applies it to us. At the consecration, we pray. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples. And Father Ronald Rollheiser uses the actions of Christ at the institution of the Eucharist, and he applies it to us and for a proper understanding of the Eucharist. First is to receive, then is to give thanks, then break, and then share. Let's try and look at these points. Receive. The Eucharist is not ours for the taking. Father Ted posted something on Facebook, I think you saw it, no? About receiving communion, whether you receive communion on the tongue or on the hand. In the church, it doesn't matter. You know, one way is not better than the other way if it's done right. The Eucharist is not for grabbing. In fact, where we can receive communion on the hand or on the tongue, but you can't take the Eucharist. It's something that's given. Self-communication is not allowed, meaning you take the host and from the altar table and you consume it yourself. No, it's something that has to be given and received. No self-communication. Why? Because let's go back to the Garden of Eden, no? It's presumption, really, that was the sin. Adam and Eve took it upon themselves to just take the fruit of the tree. No? And not that it's connected in a very intimate way to the Eucharist, but it's not ours for the taking. It's a gift that has been freely given, and it is something that we have to receive with love. When you come up for communion, oftentimes when I give communion, the body of Christ, and people, let's stop right here and talk about receiving communion. Let's have a lesson in receiving communion, because, oh, sometimes I feel like I'm at a casino, at a slot machine. When you receive communion, first and foremost, this is the rule, all right? You come forward, and before you receive communion, you're supposed to make an act of reverence. And that act of reverence, from what I understand, there are three ways of making an act of reverence. There's a genuflection that you can do, you know. You bend the knee like this. You can do that. You can bow, or you can make the sign of the cross before you receive communion. And that's an act of adoration to Jesus who is present in the Eucharist. Then you come forward, make that act of reverence, and then the priest says the body of Christ. And you're supposed to respond, amen. What does amen mean? It means so be it. It means yes, I believe. We give the sacred host out to you who come forward, but oftentimes it's, if I'm lucky to get an amen, it's often amen. I mean, if you really believe that that's the body and blood of Jesus Christ, well then have a smile on your face, and don't worry, it's not going to be awkward today when you come to me for communion, all right? I'm not going to look for a smile on your face. But at least believe that that's really the body and blood of Jesus and say, amen, mean it. You know, I'm not saying be enthusiastic, which, well, you can be. You want to look like a crazy person. But believe what you say. Believe that that's Jesus. Often it's, amen, amen. How about amen? You know, because it is Jesus. When you receive on the tongue, stick your tongue out. It's not that, you know, it's not a vending, your mouth, you're not a vending machine. Stick your tongue out so that I'm not, so we can easily put the sacred host on your tongue if you choose to receive on the tongue. And then if you receive on the hand, okay, here we go. First of all, don't grab the sacred host. That's irreverent. Don't grab it out of our hands. But, and this is from a father of the church, when you come, he says, when you receive communion, come forward with one hand on top of the other and use the hand that's on the bottom to pick up the sacred host. Don't come up like this, okay? But this father of the church says something beautifully. I'm paraphrasing here. Come forward and receive the Eucharist as if you're receiving golden dust. You know? Because when you receive, if you were to receive golden dust, you'd want every speck of it, right? You wouldn't let anything fall on the floor. But you have something even more precious than gold in your hands. You have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus himself. And so, when you receive communion, one hand on top of the other, take the sacred host with this hand from the hand on the bottom, pick it up, and then place it in your mouth. I've seen many times, and it saddens me, people walking away with the sacred host. God only knows what they're going to do with that. Remember, there's an excommunication attached to the desecration of the host, if it's thrown away or something, and I can't absolve that without writing to Rome and getting permissions for all that stuff. We have to treat the Blessed Sacrament with respect. So the proper way to receive communion is then you take it in your hand, you step to the side, and you put the sacred host in your mouth and you consume it so that the minister sees and I don't have to worry. I always watch with my eyes in case anybody walks away with the host. Okay? So, and then after you put the host in your mouth, check your hand if any particles of the host remain. The church teaches that Jesus is present equally, whether it be an entire host or just a piece of the host. Jesus is present in every single speck of that host, if it is recognizable. And that's Jesus. Take care. If you see that there's a tiny piece of the host, take it, use your finger, and then consume it reverently. Put it in your mouth, and then please wash your hands, okay? I'm a germaphobe. Okay? So, we have to treat the Eucharist with reverence, because it is the most precious gift, that possession, that we have as the church. We are to receive it. We are to receive it reverently. The second thing that Father Richard Rollheiser says is give thanks. He took bread, gave thanks. Jesus took bread and then gave thanks. Gratitude. Gratitude for the great gift that Jesus has left us in the Eucharist. So all the problems in the world today would be resolved if everybody had a grateful spirit. But instead of gratitude, what do we have? Me, poor me, self-pity, what's that thing? Entitlement. No, we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the Eucharist. Jesus could have left earth, ascended into heaven without leaving us his body and blood for our nourishment. We should receive with gratitude. And this spirit of gratitude helps us to move to the next movement. Huh? Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, and then what did he do? He broke the bread. Often we hear people complaining, no, the Mass is boring. He's a terrible preacher. Sorry about that. Or I don't get anything out of Mass. We're not happy clappy. Catholics are not happy clappy. You go to the other churches there, you know, they're moving and swaying to the music. Thank God we don't do that here. No? Why? Because our faith is based not on feelings, our faith is based on the reality of the person of Jesus Christ. Huh? Not on, oh, I feel good today, so I'm going to go to church. No. You come to church not because of me. You know, you come to church because to be nourished by the Word of God and to be nourished by His body and blood in the Mass and in the Eucharist. That's why we come to church. Not because I want to feel good. We come to church to be nourished by Jesus. And yet, Father Richard says, so many people complain Mass is boring. I don't get anything out of it. But, and they say, our church services aren't meaningful enough because, here, this is beautiful. He says, our church services aren't meaningful enough because most times the bread and the wine are the only things that change. Do you understand that? It's not meaningful because it's only the bread and the wine that change. We have to change ourselves. We have to be transubstantiated. We have to undergo a transformation ourselves, not just the elements on the altar. If we don't change, then what we're doing here is vain. Like what I say at First Communions, no, we have to become what we eat. We are what we eat. We have to be broken. We have to allow ourselves to not be ourselves, to leave our comfort zones and to be changed into Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're just going through the motions. Otherwise, we're paying lip service to God. And so, Jesus took bread, He gave thanks, He broke the bread, and then what did He do? He gave it to His disciples. And this means we have to share. We have to be share. We have to share. On Monday, we, the Adorno Fathers, celebrate the feast of our founder, St. Francis Caracciolo. And he was a man who was so centered on the Eucharist that sometimes the other religious would go into the chapel in the middle of the night and they would find him prostrate on the floor in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He was known to spend hours and hours of adoration in front of the Eucharist. But in his hometown in Villa Santa Maria, where he was born, there's a statue outside the house in which he was born, and it's an image of St. Francis holding up in this hand the sacred host. And in this hand, he's holding out a loaf of bread for the poor. And underneath, I believe it says, from bread received to bread shared. The Eucharist, which we are nourished by, must lead us and empower us to share our life, the life of God that is in us, with others. It cannot be for ourselves. You know that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine"? Well, we are that light, and we are emboldened and we are emblazoned by the Eucharist, and we have to go forth and share it with our brothers and sisters who don't know yet, who still live in darkness and don't know yet the light of Christ. This is what the Eucharist is about. This is why, this should be the reason why we are here. To receive, to, what's the next thing? To break, no, to give thanks, to break, and to share. Any other reason for us being here is wrong. We must be Eucharist, brothers and sisters. As we are nourished by the Eucharist, we ourselves must be that presence of Christ. Amen.